Hello, hello, everybody. This is Tiffany Carlson, and you are listening to No Free Rides for Beautyability and EasyStand.com. Today is May 28th, 2011, and this is podcast 74. Very excited today for many reasons, but we're doing a really special show today. Very special, and I'll mention why in just a second here. But first, I want to mention again that this podcast would not be here without our sponsor, who is the folks at EasyStand. EasyStand makes some great standing frames, and they've been making standing frames for well over 15 years, I believe, a long time. And they just make some really good equipment for helping people stand up when they can't on their own. So check them out at EasyStand.com. So today's guest, everybody, it's been a month since our last show. We have a great new show today because we have one of my favorite guests back on the show. She's back for her third time, Mimi Emery, and she's here to talk about her very exciting pregnancy news. She's my fierce Canadian paraplegic friend, and she's pregnant with a baby boy, and she is due in September. And the cool thing is that the baby's father is also a paraplegic, and they were able to conceive naturally. Very cool. And so she is here to share her story, talk about everything. So stay tuned. We'll have her in on the show in a few minutes. But first, it's been a month, which means I got to update you guys on things happening in my neck of the world, in my neck of the woods. Here in Minneapolis, Minnesota, we have been getting some crazy weather, and it's not even the worst of the tornado months yet. June is supposedly the month where we get like twice as many tornadoes than we have in May. And I don't know if you've been paying attention to the news, but there's been a lot of tornadoes in the United States lately. A lot. And since I'm at the northern part of the country, our tornadoes aren't as bad as the really devastating tornado that hit the one in Missouri in Joplin, which I believe was a mile wide. I can't even imagine that. It's incomprehensible, really. Scary, too. And so we had a tornado warnings here just galore last weekend because exactly a week ago here in Minneapolis, a tornado the middle of a Sunday afternoon just dropped out of the sky over a part of Minneapolis. It's actually had a lot of low-income housing, and it was a bad area to hit because what happened is the tornado touched down and killed one person and tore up a lot of homes, and a lot of people are now displaced because of it, and they don't have the money, of course, to really do much about their current situation. So it's kind of a tough thing that happened here in Minneapolis, but it was funny. A weird thing that happened to me is when it happened, I was at Target shopping, and so it happens if you're at Target and a tornado warning happens, they tell everybody to go to the back of the store where the electronics equipment is, which is now like in the back center of the store. I don't know if that's where the Targets are in your world, but here in Minnesota, that's where the electronics section is. So apparently that's where they believe it's the safest of the part of the store to be in. So they announce on the loudspeaker that everyone goes there. So being very dutiful, I went back there. And then they also say that they're not going to do any checkouts, so you can shop at your own will, but you cannot check out until Hennepin County, which is Minneapolis' county, until the warning is expired, which they said would be at like 4 in the afternoon. So if you're in the store with a basket of stuff, hopefully it's not stuff that needs to go in the freezer right away, because you would have been screwed. And so it was kind of annoying, a little bit frustrating, a little bit scary. And then, of course, you start thinking about wheelchairs and tornadoes if you do use a wheelchair, especially if you live in a building or if you're upstairs in like a multi-story building if a tornado warning comes, or God forbid a tornado even does come, what would you do? You know, you can't just quick hop in an elevator because elevators are usually shut down when a tornado warning comes about. So you're kind of screwed. In my building, I live up high in a tall residential building, and it's kind of freaky because here they say just stay on your floor and just go to your bathroom you know, door jam. Apparently that's the safest. But you do, feel very helpless whenever a tornado warning comes and you use a wheelchair, because there's not a lot of places you can really run to very easily when you're in a wheelchair. It's not like in Twister, you know, there's all these scenes where, you know, you have Helen Hunt, like, running, dodging under, like, a door and holding it and, like, saving her ass, like, so many times. And if I was thinking, God, I would not be able to save my ass at all. If an F1 tornado came in my way, I'd be screwed. Oh, geez. Tornadoes are scary. So if you do live in a part of the world that does not have tornadoes, you're lucky. But if you have hurricanes, I guess it's just as scary, right? I don't know. Anyways, tornadoes are kind of freaky. So hopefully I'll have a podcast. I'll be around. I'll be alive come late June to do my next podcast. Hopefully no crazy tornadoes will hit me, because I'm telling you what, this summer in Minnesota is not even hot yet. The weather has been crazy so far. I don't know what's, it doesn't really, something's wrong, something's weird. Maybe it's, you know, the environment, like, closing in on itself because of humans polluting the world. I don't know. But our summer is super delayed, and it's really, really frustrating for many people up here that live in Minnesota for the sole reason that we have fabulous summers. And if we get gypped out of a summer, then what? Ugh. Anyways, so that is what's been going on in my world. And another thing that I want to quickly talk about is the really super exciting news about Rob Summers, who is the 25-year-old paraplegic who broke his back in a car accident, or his lower neck, some time ago. And he was lucky enough to be recruited into some... let me go back to my post. I actually blogged about this, and it's super exciting because he basically got implanted with this basic spinal cord injury stimulator thing, and they put it into his, I think, pretty low spinal cord area, and they stimulated it, and first he had to just practice walking again on a locomotor machine, which is one of those machines that hangs someone with a, that you have to be paralyzed, and they kind of hang you on this harness, and then you have a walking treadmill under you, and then they have your legs in these braces, or no, electrodes, and they make your legs move. And so he had to commit himself to this program in order to be part of the study, which ended up being a fabulous idea, because now he can actually walk if he has the stimulator on. That's the key. But the cool thing is that he did this whole therapy study for 2 years. He had to practice in the locomotor for a while, and then they put the stimulator in, and then that enhanced his ability to actually move his legs on command with the stimulator on. And he's a complete spinal cord injury, which means there's no connection from his brain to his spinal cord anymore. But they're learning, though, that that can be bypassed, and that the stimulator is helping retrain his spinal cord, so he can still somehow tell his spinal cord what to do without his brain connected to it. It's fascinating. It's crazy. I know, but it's happening, and they just discovered this. So this is really exciting news, and you can go to the Christopher and Dana Reeve Foundation. It's not just the Christopher Reeve Foundation anymore. They have this long, annoying title. It's the Christopher and Dana Reeve Foundation. You can go to their website, and they have a really great explanation of the whole Rob Summers study and what it means for you if you're paralyzed. Basically, to sum up, it means not a lot. You're not going to be getting this anytime soon, but it's really exciting for the future, as all studies are. It's just too bad that it takes such a long time for something to get from point A to point U. You know what I'm saying? So, it might not happen in my life, might not even happen in yours, but they might deem you, like, not one of the people that can get it. I'm not quite sure what the stipulations are. They don't really say. They do say that only, like, 20% of people with spinal cord injuries could be benefited by this, but needless to say, this is some of the most exciting news to happen in the spinal cord injury research world ever, mainly because it produced real results. Not a little rat leg moving, Dr. Kears did, which is still great. This made a dude who was completely paralyzed for 4 years stand up by his own volition. It's big news. So check it out. You can go to newmobility.com and read my blog, or you can go to the Christopher and Dana Reeve Foundation's website and check out their multiple press releases on this topic. So very, very exciting. Well, I'm so excited to have her back on the show. As I mentioned at the top of today's podcast, we have Mimi Emery back on the program, and this is her third time on No Free Rides, and we've talked about a variety of, interesting issues pertaining to life as a female with paralysis, and today we have a super exciting topic to talk about, she's pregnant, and Mimi is pregnant, and I don't know if you're familiar with the TV show Pregnant in Heels, but this is like Pregnant on Wheels, and we have Mimi here to kind of give us some really amazing insight into what it's like to be currently pregnant and paralyzed. So without further ado, hello, Mimi.
Hello.
How's it going?
Good. Yeah, it's, I am... almost 5.5 months pregnant. I'm 23 weeks, so
Moving
along.
Exciting, and congratulations.
Thank you.
So,
it's a boy.
So it's a boy, and when did you find out that you were pregnant?
I know I got pregnant on New Year's Eve. I actually know when I conceived, which is pretty cool. But I found out, I think it was probably around the third week of January, last week of January, something like that, because I actually started getting really symptomatic with nausea and hunger, like crazy, ravenous, ridiculous.
Have you ever been pregnant before? Was this your first time being pregnant?
I was pregnant in, I think it was 2004, and it was, I only got to about maybe 8 weeks along. It was with my ex.
And you were paralyzed then as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it was so, I miscarried, and we knew for like a week that I was pregnant, and then I ended up losing the baby.
That's sad.
But yeah, no, I've never been like, first child, yeah, absolutely, never been.
So this is like your first time you've actually carried a child this point. It's pretty exciting, and so everyone out there, if they don't know, you are a T67 paraplegic.
Yep.
Right, and you've been injured for several years. How long have you been hurt?
13 years.
13 and a half.
It's 1998, January 98.
So exciting.
What's pretty crazy is the baby's father was actually, he had a motorcycle wreck. It'd be 10 years this year, and his motorcycle wreck was September 30th, and the baby's due September 24th, and we know they never come on time, right? So it just boggles my mind that this child could actually be born on the anniversary of his father's motorcycle wreck.
Wow, and so so the father is a paraplegic, and that's pretty cool because it's not very often you come across two people with paralysis, you know, having babies together, and I think that's amazing, and I know that a lot of people out there think that it's impossible for a guy with paralysis. I mean, unless they have like some extraction of semen. And how did you guys end up getting pregnant?
We actually got pregnant totally naturally. His father had the baby's name is Noah. Noah's father has erectile dysfunction, obviously, as pretty much all male paraplegics do, and he hadn't really been making use of his penis up until me, and I kind of insisted, well, what's the point, you know, lose it or use it or lose it kind of thing, like we need to get it going. And so I noticed just changes in it since we were intimate, and then on New Year's Eve I remember yelling, we were intimate, and I went to the bathroom and we were yelling out, oh my god, I smell sperm. Oh, come on. And I was like, I smell sperm, there's no doubt in my mind. And I'd actually mentioned that to him for the weeks kind of leading up to that there was definitely something going on in there.
And wow, and was that for him like a big deal?
Huge, because he, as far as I know, hadn't really been involving any intimacy with any women before me. Like he was just, it was like, well, doesn't matter, I don't feel it, I don't need it.
Well, yeah, that's how most guys with paralysis are, you know. They'd rather just have oral sex or whatever, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Ooh, I'm losing my voice, which is actually from the sort of weird pregnancy thing apparently.
Aww.
Yeah, you can edit that part out.
Okay.
But he doesn't ejaculate, and he doesn't get an erection. But like I said, I've been starting to feel changes in it, and his body very obviously leaks sperm and produces sperm. Paraplegics, most of them still make sperm. That's why stuff like sperm extraction and like touchy magic wands that some people, most, you know, from what I have understood on some of the SCI forums that I've looked, there is, I mean, it's not common, but there are others who have gotten pregnant totally naturally when one of the guys is, you know, a para or even a quad. Yeah. And other people just use like the vibrator and, you know, get to extract like even a little bit. I mean, you have to remember, even though male paraplegic sperm count is lower, as far as I know.
I've read that somewhere.
Yeah, I believe that across the board, most of them have a much lower sperm count than a regular full-bodied male. But they, you know, even if, like, I don't know how many sperm come out in a ejaculate, so it's probably billions.
Millions or whatever, yes.
Like, even if, you know, you blow out even 5,000, I mean, all it literally, it's crazy, out of that 5,000, you just need one.
I know, all it takes is one sperm.
One sperm, and, you know, we were intimate in the fullest sense of the word, you know, where I, we had it going, and it was, made sure we used it, and it was, you know, not to be crude, but it was, like, up in there inside me.
You mean full-on intercourse, we could just say that?
Full-on intercourse, yeah. and I happened to be fertile at that time. I looked at my ovulation calendar that I have on my phone, and I didn't realize, and I didn't even think about it until afterwards. But
were you nervous, like, when you realized, or were you like, oh my god, I'm gonna get pregnant? Like, did you not want it to happen?
No, I actually, well, I didn't even look at my calendar until after I started, we started wondering, well, am I pregnant, because I was nauseous and hungry and just not feeling good. And
did that happen right away, like within days?
No. I got pregnant. I was in Mammoth. We were in Mammoth over Christmas, and I flew back here January 7th. And at that point, my fertile time had already passed. Right, so it's, you know, with the woman's cycle, you ovulate, and that's the only time anyone who knows anything about women's cycle knows that you can really only get pregnant when you ovulate. And yeah, I got back here. My fertile time had passed, and it was about, I don't know, it was probably about 2 weeks later, and I've had a lot of kidney trouble before I got pregnant, and so I actually was seeing my kidney doctor, and I was like, I'm nauseous. I'm really nauseous. Like, is this some sort of kidney thing? And it happens to also be a thing with people who have kidney trouble.
Really?
Sometimes you get nauseous, and he's like, yeah, you know, but not that bad. And he's like, is there any chance you're pregnant? And I was like, no, come on.
I would have been like, excuse me, I'm not married. You think I'm some hussy?
Seriously, yeah. Like, I mean, especially just, yeah, it just, I was like, no, I'm pregnant. And he was like, okay. And so I happened to be talking to Noah's dad, and I mentioned this conversation, and I'm all laughing about it, and he kind of didn't laugh, and he was like, are you sure? And I was like, you know, I'm not sure. It didn't occur to me, but I'm definitely not sure. And that's when I looked at my phone, and I saw that I had ovulated and been fertile while I was in Mammoth. And it all started to kind of
come
together. We had to wait.
So how come you guys didn't use a condom? Did you really think there was no chance he'd even get you pregnant?
Yeah, well, it for sure. For me, I didn't even... We had... You know, children had been talked about between us, but it wasn't...
Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't, first of all, I mean, I don't know how we'd get a condom on.
Right.
But he...
Maybe it would be hard with two pairs together.
Yeah, you know, I remember him saying to me, it didn't even occur to him, because he just believed that he could never father a child, which obviously is not the case.
Well, yeah. And this is a good warning for all guys out there with spinal cord injuries that think that they can just go bareback.
Really open about that is because I post actively on one of the spinal cord injury forums, and I see so many of the guys there just really having a hard time conceiving, and you really don't read about anybody just trying to do it the old-fashioned way, like just stick her in there and...
try, just try. What's to hurt, yeah.
Oh, I gotta blow my load. But the fact of the matter is that sperm is sperm is sperm, no matter how it comes out of your body, whether it trickles out and a drop of it comes out or you actually ejaculate, it doesn't matter. If you can get a little bit in there and you're fertile, you can still get pregnant, and that's exactly what happened to me. Mm-hmm. It was just a little trickle inside my body.
Yeah, this takes a little bit.
People get pregnant from pulling out. How many teen pregnancies or unwanted children or surprise pregnancies are there when the male's pulled out of the woman?
Yeah, it all depends on how fertile you are. If you're at a really fertile time and a guy just even gets like pre-cum inside of you, you can get pregnant from that if you're at a fertile time.
Like a little bit of fluid. I mean, it really doesn't take much. And I happened to, when I got pregnant on New Year's Eve, my little app in my phone, it gets, like, it has different green tones for, like, that week of ovulation of when you're the most fertile. And it was, like, the most fertile day. It was bright green on New Year's Eve, like, the night that we were intimate. And it was it was, like, the most fertile day in my cycle.
Well.
So, literally, like, you know, I could have a drop of it.
So, what did you think when you realized, well, okay, I'm probably pregnant by this paraplegic I'm dating? Who I happen to love? Were you guys planning on getting married? Was there long-term prospects, or were you like, oh my God?
Yeah.
Or was
this
baby kind of the cement?
You know, I love his dad a lot. You know, there was never any question of, you know, not having the baby. It was always like, oh my goodness, this is a miracle child. He's obviously a very special child who has, you know, some sort of purpose in the world.
Right.
Wouldn't have happened, because really, what are the odds? And, it was excitement all across the board.
Did you, you were worried, though, about miscarrying again, though, weren't you?
Yeah, very worried. We did not tell anybody, really, except for very, very close friends and family, that I was even pregnant, because we didn't want to have to go back and say to everybody, well, you know, well, we lost the baby because my kidney issues, had a bunch of health issues that made my risk of miscarriage, like, ridiculously high. It was an extremely high risk pregnancy, and you know, there's nothing worse than every woman wants to like run out of her house and be like, I'm pregnant.
Well, yeah,
it's a baby that's loved and wanted. I wanted to, of course, like, I wanted to go on Facebook and be like, status, I'm pregnant. Look, everybody, and I mean. It, you know, I had to kind of like come down to earth and like force myself not to.
Wow.
And I was also, I was so nauseous, I wanted to die. I mean, honest to God.
And so now you're not anymore, though? That is now past?
No, it hasn't passed.
No.
I still get, my best friend was actually nauseous. She gave birth at 8 months, which is a little bit early, and she was nauseous up until the 8th month. And it happens, and I'm unfortunately one of those people. I don't wake up and throw up 30 times a day like I was before. I mean, it was hell. And so, that was another thing, too. Like, people were like, I've dropped off the earth a little bit. And I just kept saying, well, I'm not feeling well. And I couldn't say, well, I'm puking my
right.
I'm pregnant. What makes me nauseous now at 23 weeks is if I catch a whiff of something, like a smell, and I'll just be like, oh, you know, and I don't really throw up now as opposed to just kind of like dry heat. It's kind of gross. But
so paralyzed and pregnant, you know, it's kind of interesting combination of two things. And I think a lot of people probably, whether they're paralyzed or not, like, what physical changes, you know, related to the pregnancy, have you found that are making it maybe a bit more difficult because you are paralyzed? What are, like, just, you know, that, you know, something that you're having to kind of work around?
Well, you know, my first thing when I first found out was, you know, literally, like, am I still going to be able to fit into my wheelchair when I get big? Because I'm a 14-inch chair.
Yeah, that's
here
little.
I'm thinking, well, I'm going to just spread, basically. My body's just going to grow. And, you know, it's... I think I'm just going outwards, luckily.
That's good.
I was also really small stature. I'm really small. I mean, you know what I look like.
You're pretty thin.
I'm pretty tiny. And so I started to gain weight almost immediately. My boobs just got humongous.
That's awesome, though. Woo.
Yeah, they're like watermelons. And they hurt. And, you know, and I was just, like, mostly worried about transferring. And unfortunately, you know, not only do me and the the baby's dad, but mm-hmm. almost all my friends, everybody has SUVs. So the first thing that became hard was getting into the car.
Oh, man.
And getting my chair into the car, like that, because I take it apart.
Do you feel heavier now? Like, do you really feel?
Oh, yeah. I felt heavier after I actually started showing. I mean, it could have been more bloating, but I started to get a little belly around, I would say, 6 or 7 weeks along. I was already, like...
Wow.
I was also eating so much. I mean, I was, like, eating ravenously, and I think a lot of the times it was a food baby, right? And, and so I started to... I think my body needed to gain fat and gain weight.
Probably get healthy and get ready for the baby coming.
Exactly. And I had just, I'd been sick through Christmas and, might have lost a bit of weight there because I was sick with a horrible flu. And plus the nausea, like I was eating and then it was just coming right back up. And it was absolutely, the first trimester is quite possibly the worst thing that I think I've ever had to physically, like just.
Is the baby wake you up? Is it harder to sleep, like full nights even now?
It started to be, Like, I was having trouble sleeping. I was actually already feeling... And I have sensation, mm-hmm. and I was always like, if I get pregnant, I hope I'll be able to feel the child. And mm-hmm. So I started to actually feel sort of like aches and pains, which is really common in pregnancy because your body, like your hips start to spread, mm-hmm. and my ribs were hurting. And I'm just so small that like my rib cage literally felt like it was expanding, which as it turns out it is.
Wow, really?
Boom for the kid, yeah.
Creepy.
And I was just being kept up at night, just with aches and pains, and I was using like heating pad and hot water bottles, and and now getting bigger, they have an obvious baby belly. I don't know how much longer.
Is it weird when you go out in public? When you go out in public, can people real?
Yeah.
What do they say to you?
Oh, like it's kind of. Yeah, well, everyone wants to touch me. I've heard it's really common in pregnancy. Like, any pregnant friend I've had is always like, people just, like, strangers will, like, rub your belly. Like, you're that, laughing Buddha and you're the good luck charm, when you rub a Buddha. And it's kind of true. Like, people just, and, everybody asks when are you, strangers in the grocery store line, when are you due? And people seem to, I've had a couple... Like, obviously all my friends know that, yes, paralyzed and pregnant, disability, not a big deal. But, I mean, strangers are often, like, they almost double take a little bit, I've noticed.
Yeah, they're probably like, what, is she going to have her baby soon? Is that why she's in
here? Totally, they kind of do like a, whoa, is she pregnant? Oh, and she's in a chair? Like, whoa, never seen that before.
You could just lie and say you're on bed rest. So this is the way I do bed rest. So I know you could just say, because I guess that people have no idea. They probably don't even realize what causes you to be in the chair. Of course, people don't know. So
exactly. Like, I mean, am I in a chair because there's something wrong with the pregnancy? Like, was I in a chair before? Like, I mean, questions that people have, I'm sure, are just endless.
Yeah, but no one's actually had the balls to come up to you and ask. Hopefully.
No one said, like, are you pregnant? Like, no one's ever done anything. Like, I get a lot of people, especially little...
old ladies. Yes, the little old ladies there.
They're like, oh, when are you due? And I'm, September 24th is my due date. And they're like, oh, you're not even halfway through or whatever. I'm like, yeah, I know. I've got a long way to go.
Aw, little old ladies. That's so cute. Up in Canada?
And yeah, grandmas. Yeah, grandmas for sure. And it's cute. It's not... No one's been, like... invasive or stupid about in terms of strangers questioning me, but one really cool thing that's happened in the last couple of weeks is I guess it was 2.5-ish weeks ago, maybe 3, maybe even a little more, I started to, when I had my hand on my belly, I would feel what felt like kind of bubbles, and I'm thinking, oh, it's gas. and then I was like, no, that doesn't feel like gas, and at that point, and so I was reading that that's kind of the first way you start to feel your baby is like bubbles, and in the last, I'd say, week and a half or so, I can actually feel the baby kicking and moving.
Oh my god.
Which is something that to me is like total amazing gift from, you know, the universe, because it's like I never ever thought as a paraplegic that that was going to be a possibility, that I would be able to feel my child moving inside of me. Like, that's something that's so special.
It is. That is beautiful.
Kick, and to be able to feel him, and kind of now he's getting bigger, so I start to kind of, and I don't think I feel him as clearly or as hard as like an able-bodied woman would, but I definitely feel something that's not...
That's good, that's good, at least.
Like, laughing about it, it's like, what is that feeling? When I kind of realize that's him, like that's Noah kicking in there.
Aww.
Like, yeah, and so that's been amazing, like it's just...
Did you always want to have a baby? Like, was this one of your life goals?
It wasn't... Yeah, like, I was never, like, somebody who said I didn't want to have children. I never said that.
Yeah.
You know, I do have some female friends who are absolutely, like, no way. They do not want children. They do not want babies.
Yeah.
And that was never me. I was never, like, my life purpose is to be somebody's mother. Like,
right.
But at the same time, I love kids. And I always felt like if I, you know, found someone who... was sort of like worthy of being my child's father, like someone who's, it's a big responsibility to be somebody's dad. And so, yeah, it was like, well, if, you know, found someone who was worthy of it, then absolutely, you know, it would be a possibility.
But for you, though, I mean, how about, let's talk about you. I mean, it's a big deal to be a mom and being paralyzed, you know?
Absolutely. Well, yeah.
Aren't you worried?
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah. About what?
Let's talk about how you're going to deal with that. I mean, what kind of worries do you have? I mean, you sound pretty confident in it. I mean, maybe it's because you're a paraplegic and you know you can probably do everything most of the time anyways.
Yeah, I think, you know, the first thing I felt like when I first found out with the positive pregnancy test was like this really bizarre mixture of total, like, fear. Like, I've never felt that kind of fear before. And, like, joy. Just like, oh, wow, oh my goodness, but I'm really scared.
I know. I'd be like, oh, God.
And I think, you know, talking to people, like, you know, who've had babies, they're all like, yeah, you're never ready to have a baby. Like, you're, no matter how much you wanted a baby, you still see a positive pregnancy test, and you feel fear, because it's scary. It's a huge deal. It's a child. It's with you forever. But, you know, I've thought a lot about issues, stuff like, well, how am I going to push a stroller and push myself?
Right.
So decided to, well, in that case, baby wearing, like carriers and baby slings is probably going to be what, you know, is what I do the most. And I actually opted to, I'd always wanted a natural birth. And I did not think with sort of the issues I've had with my kidneys and just being paralyzed and, you know, I didn't even know if I'd push out a child. And speaking to a couple other women who've had babies after injuries, they all had, nobody had C-sections. They were able to kind of like use their diaphragms or something to bear down.
That's
still
cool.
Find ways to bear down and push the baby out. And a few weeks ago, after just being swamped by doctors, like since I've gotten pregnant, five months, you can imagine 5 months of poking and prodding and just feeling so invaded. By nurses and specialists, and just like, oh, leave me alone. And I had like this meltdown where I was like, I want to have a home birth. I want to have a natural home birth because I don't want to, I associate hospitals with fear and pain and death, obviously. And I spent a long time in one after I got hurt, and I just, they're not a happy place for me. And I just felt like this is a really special baby, obviously, and he needs to be born in an environment where, you know, someone doesn't rip them out from my arms under fluorescent lights and you're all freaking out. You know, it was so, because I felt so much anxiety about the birth. Like, I was literally looking at my belly and was terrified. Like, I was not myself even. Like, I was constantly, yes, you know, baby hormones make you cry and emotional, but I was literally, like, yelling at people that I love. And I'm not a yeller. I'm not someone who really does that. And it was all just, like, fear and anxiety and frustration over so many things, surrounding the birth and the pregnancy, that it was just coming out, almost like taking it out on people. And I remember this moment of like just bawling and freaking out, and kind of, because my OBGYN, my baby doctor, had said, I see no reason why you can't push out a baby. I've had spinal cord injured women push them out before, so I always knew I could push the baby out vaginally, as opposed to a C-section.
Right, that's good.
And So yeah, like a couple weeks ago, it was just like, I'm gonna try to find a midwife. And I had my sort of dream had been to have the baby in Hawaii, and I started looking at midwives in Hawaii and in Southern California, and I just, you know, I did a little Googling, and I found something that really felt right, a woman in Hawaii who is certified midwife, and contacted her, explained my, you know, medical history, my situation with my kidneys, and the only, you know, she, on her website, I believe it said something like, the only time you're not really a candidate for home birth and midwives is if you have pelvic damage, like if you've broken your pelvis, which I actually have never, that didn't happen to me when I got her. My pelvis is fine. Amongst all the other things that were broken, it's all above my hips. So when I got hurt, so she emailed me back almost right away, and she said she had read my email over a few times, and she thought about it, and she's like, I really see no reason why you can't have a home birth, and here in Hawaii, the hospital is actually 30 minutes away from this particular town where I'm, you know, I'm looking to rent a house in, and she's like, I will work concurrently with the doctors at this hospital so that we still have doctors involved and they're aware in case of an emergency. When you get, if we have to go to the hospital, they know about you. You know, we can still do ultrasounds. We can still monitor your kidneys with doctors. So it's almost like a concurrent thing where we'll have doctors and a midwife, but I was still at home. And she said, I will ask a colleague of hers, another midwife, to attend the birth with her, just to extra hands, extra knowledge kind of thing. And I remember the moment that I found her and found her website, for anyone that wants to know, it's islandmamasmidwifery.com, and her name is Danny. She's amazing. But as soon as I started, and I spoke to her for 2 hours on the phone, and we were talking about everything, you know, with the pregnancy, and I remember that night looking down at my belly and finally, for the first time, not feeling absolutely anxious and terrified of the birth. Like, I would watch birth videos on YouTube and bawl hysterically. I would be, like, absolutely terrified. Like, it's gonna, just gonna suck. It's gonna be horrible. And then I started watching home birth videos after that conversation with her last week, and I was just watching it, as opposed to crying and bawling, I'm looking at it in a whole different light, like, oh my goodness, like, what a loving environment. Like, the baby comes out and they don't snatch it away and cut the cord. I mean, it's just so gentle and loving. And my perspective switched. It's like I became this, even though I'm going to be 31 this year, I felt like this, like, little girl who happens to be pregnant. You know, like, I can't even tell what's wrong. I'm so scared. It just went from, I'm someone's mom, I can do this, Mother Nature is taking over my body, and I'm a responsible mommy now. It was this cool, amazing switch from terror and anxiety to calm, peaceful, like the kind of pregnancy I'd always imagined I would have if I ever thought about it. It was like, oh, I'm going to be this earth mama. And now I kind of feel, all of a sudden feel like one. It's cool. It's really cool.
Well, the Hawaii thing will be fun too, in Hawaii. What's the draw to Hawaii? I mean, to me, it sounds just like a good time because it's Hawaii. But why Hawaii for you?
My baby daddy and I had always we had talked about moving to Hawaii in the past, and then I got pregnant, and with all my issues, there was a lot of fear in that I would not be able to get the medical care I kind of needed, and especially with a pregnancy and a baby and a high-risk pregnancy. And that went on the back burner. And it's just, it's a beautiful, like, amazing, wonderful part of the world, really. And when I imagined myself living there, you know, just having a garden and a little home by the ocean, you know, hammock to lay in, I just always felt that's just an amazing thing, like, to be able to wake up and just look at the ocean every day. And
so your plan would not be to, would you stay in Hawaii after the baby's born?
And that was about a month ago. I'd said, well, maybe I do want to have the baby in Hawaii after all, and not, like, just rule that out because I'm afraid. And so I started looking at places in Kona and was not finding anything accessible, which is really weird, but the buildings are all really old, you know, so everything was up like a flight of stairs.
And that's fun.
And so I happened to, when I found my midwife, she's about an hour away from Kona in a little town. And she said, well, what about this particular town? Like, have you looked here? I mean, it's kind of off the beaten path. There's only about 1,000 people, and most people are almost like a surfer hippie community, like a really cool, mellow, beautiful place that everybody pictures Hawaii to be. Because she's like, Kona is still very much like a city.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, I'm going to look in this particular town. And I found a house, a small house there. I was everything I want. And I just, when I think about going, I'm just going to go. It's scary, yes. And
yeah.
I have some close friends who are probably going to accompany me. And midwife's like, you know, this town is so neighborly and so loving. You do not have to worry about anything. Like, people will help you. Like, you'll be there for a couple hours. They'll have people knocking on your door wanting to help you. And yeah, it's just...
That sounds great.
Hawaii is... I don't know. The draw has been something almost, I guess you could call it primal. Where
yeah.
I just, I don't know, if you want to get hokey, maybe I lived a past life in Hawaii.
Yeah, maybe you did. That's awesome that you came
back. But the history of the land and the people that seem to migrate to Hawaii seem to be really loving, more earth-minded people, which I'd like to think that I am. And the idea of just, you know, growing the baby and being pregnant through the summer in my third trimester, you know, by the ocean and just lazing around in my hammock in my bathing suit.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Going around, you know, just chilling and being peaceful, like that to me is exactly how I want to be pregnant. Like, that's my choice. I'm going to have the baby there, most likely. I mean, I'm not 100% sure. We still have to measure the doorways of the house and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, there's a few little details, but,
What about spinal cord injury issues? Being the home birth, is your midwife worried that you might need to be at the hospital for anything pertaining to your disability?
Well, she's going to work concurrently with doctors at this particular hospital that's 30 minutes away from this particular town. because, you know, AD.
Right. I was going to ask, do you even have that?
Yes, I do.
You
actually,
do?
Yeah, and I've actually had it. I had a little, like, a huge scare. I've had a lot of huge scares throughout this pregnancy in terms of miscarrying and being unhealthy. But one of the big ones was, I think it was around early to mid-March. I can't remember. But I was getting my chair into my car, and I was actually going to a doctor's appointment.
Yeah.
And I was luckily already at the hospital. But I leaned down and I went to just grab like my chair frame, and I felt this crazy pain like shoot up through my body, and I thought, like, I was kind of like, ooh, like, it almost made me pass out, like, you know when you have a horrible pain and you almost just like you see stars and you almost like
I know,
back out, like something like that. And I was like, oh my god, what was that?
Weird.
And so I kind of sat there for a minute, like, whoa. And it didn't pass. It could still really hurt, but I was able to get into... I was getting my chair out, I believe is what I was doing. I wasn't getting it in. And so I was able to get into my chair and went in to see my kidney doctor, and I thought I was actually peeing myself, which my bladder has been insane since I got pregnant.
Right, I heard that happens.
By far the worst thing, like with spinal cord injury.
Really?
God.
Why? Is it because of the pressure, or do you get UTIs?
No UTIs, thank God, through this pregnancy, but yeah, the pressure on my bladder from my uterus.
Like,
your uterus starts to get big right from the beginning, and oh my God, I mean, it's the most god-awful thing ever, but pregnancy and peeing, everyone knows pregnant chicks pee like every 30 minutes anyway,
right.
So you know, I just go all the time, like I try to catch it before it happens. But anyway, so I thought I was peeing myself, and I looked down and I realized I was actually bleeding.
Oh.
Yeah, and I literally, like, I was in my doctor's office at this point, and I just hysterically started bawling my eyes out. I was like, oh my God, and he freaked out, and we rushed down, and, the ultrasound, and what had happened is I actually tore my placenta, which apparently is not especially now, like, it's I've heard that one of the most common ways to do it is a woman who had the toddler and is pregnant for the second time,
uh-huh.
you have your toddler, you can tear your placenta because it's usually from, like, picking something up or bending down strangely, and that's what I was doing. Huh. I was kind of twisting my body to get my chair out, and yeah, so I tore my placenta, and I had to really take it easy for a few weeks and sort of wait.
That would have been really scary, I bet, huh?
It was terrifying.
Yeah.
And then last month was my heartbeat and the baby's heartbeat was a complete mess, and was in the hospital again, and it was just,
geez.
We were all just...
Well, it's nerve-wracking, and but it sounds like, though, you're kind of past that. Maybe your doctors, you're in the safe zone now. As long as you just take it easy, you should be fine. With no worry with the kidneys as much now?
No, my kidney issue was unrelated to pregnancy. Like, mm-hmm. I damaged one of my kidneys when I was injured, and...
I mean the miscarry, the miscarry worry. You're kind of over that now?
No, unfortunately, no, because with kidney issues and pregnancy, it's just always kind of a risk. And,
okay.
And that was kind of the thing, one of the reasons why I opted to separate from my baby doctor was because mm-hmm. she just kept harping on this miscarriage all through the pregnancy, telling me how high risk I am, and basically using scare tactics and scaring me. I mean, she had even suggested, sort of without actually saying it, to terminate the pregnancy because of the risk to me.
What?
And the pregnancy puts a huge strain on a woman's body. I mean, everything goes to the baby. And so my body's already under stress.
Right.
Without being pregnant. And she, she implied that it would be better if I wasn't pregnant. It's like, well, I am pregnant, and I love my baby, and I'm going to have my baby unless something happens and the baby, God forbid, miscarries. But, it's that's the thing why I felt so much anxiety through this whole pregnancy. It's because I was, never out of the woods in terms of miscarriage. So,
okay.
And I still am not.
Do you have to take it easy throughout the whole pregnancy then?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah, which, I've done that as best I can. Like, I've been in the hospital in and out quite a bit, so I've been forced to take it easy for a time. But I really abhor being in the hate hospital. See, that's so much I hate the hospital.
I hate it too.
I hate the hospital. I call it the hate hospital.
The hate hospital.
it's a horrible place. And, and that's another thing with going to Hawaii is, I'll almost be forced to do nothing and be really peaceful and blissful. I have two horses, as people who've heard any of my other interviews with you know, and I stopped really riding almost right away because I didn't want to fall off. But I've gotten on my calmer horse, the one that doesn't... I have a thoroughbred and another one that's really calm, and my thoroughbred is just, crazy, but my other one, he's super mellow. And I remember I got on him, I guess it was last week or something, I have able-bodied friends who ride and were pregnant, and they stopped riding around this time 5-6 months because it actually gets uncomfortable too, your belly starts to kind of hit the saddle.
Yeah, it does.
So it's weird, but I remember I just walked around and I went and I asked my horse to canter, and I remember almost this panicky feeling of I want to get up because I was so afraid, oh god, if I fall, which I do a lot, being my balance.
Well, now you have to worry about the baby now.
And I just kind of cantered him a little bit to get over that fear and just do it for myself, and then I just was okay, I'm done.
Wow.
I think that may very well be one of the last times that I ride. I really felt myself doing it for more than another couple of weeks.
When you ride, does it feel like, this is not really a pregnancy-related question, but I've just been watching this TV show, Game of Thrones, and there's this kid in the show that got paralyzed, and they put him on a horse, and for him it's been just the biggest thing because he didn't have wheelchairs then back in the day, apparently not in this world, so he was either in your bed all the time, or they finally put this special saddle together so he can ride the horse. And then I was thinking as I was watching this, I was like, I bet you when you're paralyzed and you get on a horse and you feel the horse walking under you, it kind of feels like you're walking, sort of, doesn't it?
It actually, that's what I've said all along since I started riding again. I mean, I have years and years and years of equestrian, I guess, experience, and it's a really cool feeling. I mean, I do other sort of sports and things that I still don't you know, well, it's good to get out of my chair and, like, let's say ski, which that's another thing, like,
there's yeah.
that I'm going to do that while pregnant because I just fall
no.
all the time. I think I'm just klutzy, I don't know. But, but yeah, it's something that even from, like, skiing or kayaking, swimming, like, it's one of those things where riding a horse for me is, yeah, it's...
Because you can feel the animal's legs.
And they're alive, and you feel that motion.
Yeah, you feel the motion. I'm like, wow, you probably really feel like you're walking when you're on a horse.
You do. You don't get that in a sit ski. You don't.
No.
You're just swimming.
I really want to try that.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. I would recommend it to absolutely anybody with any kind of mobility issue.
Yeah.
Like, you know, especially a spinal cord injured person.
Totally.
Like, find a therapeutic riding place, some place where they're, you know, understanding of spinal cord injuries, because I rode before, I had experience, and I keep my horses at a regular barn. It's not a therapy place or anything like that. It's a private barn. But,
yeah.
You know, that's only because, you know, literally like 20 years of horse life experience.
That's crazy.
So I knew what I was doing, but I mean, if someone is just the
right, athlete, you got to be careful.
Maybe a trail ride or something. Then, yeah,
definitely go to a therapeutic horse place if you can find one. They are.
It seems to be a growing trend.
It is.
In the equestrian world, is a lot of people are opening up these types of places for equine therapy. It's
really great.
A beautiful thing, I think. If I had the money, I'd probably do it. But
yeah. So I was going to ask you, when you were, this whole image thing of being paralyzed, and not paralyzed, just being pregnant, now you're going to be a mom, right? Which is a huge change of just your whole, you're no longer going to be Mimi, the cute blonde, paralyzed chick that ran a tattoo parlor, and all this stuff. Now you're going to be a mom, and you're growing, you have to be an adult now. And
I know.
I mean, isn't that freaking, really? How are you dealing with that? That would just, for me, be the hardest thing to deal with.
It was. Yeah, absolutely. You know, the bottom line is that a baby is a very life-changing thing. And even in pregnancy, I mean, my son is not born yet. And I have had an extraordinary amount of life changes and things that go through your brain. I mean, there is truly, I think, nothing more rewarding and more terrifying than having a child. And with mothers, you know, it's very different, I think, for men, because if a man gets a woman pregnant, he can take off and just be a coward, basically, and just run for the hills if he wants to, because...
Yeah, it's like taking a shit in the woods and running.
Like, yeah, he can, you know, men are, like, not tied
no.
to the children that they father. It's kind of sad and weird, but it's easy for them to, like, just go.
Yeah.
And with mothers, it's, like, I think it's a whole different thing, and...
Without question.
The baby that comes in your body, comes out of your body, and... You know, it's the most, I don't know, it's almost an indescribable thing.
Aren't you going to miss your old self?
You know what, I think
that, are you ready to move on to this new life?
Well, you know, that's the thing, like, nobody wants to let go of their old self, right? Like, getting up and doing whatever the hell you want every day without worrying about a baby, but I really believe that children are adaptable, and you don't necessarily have to have your world revolve solely around your child. Like, your kid can be just as much a part of things and traveling.
Yeah, for sure. You see parents doing that. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was never one of those people that feels like, you know, ooh, the baby's sleeping, I have to plan my day around this. Like, I've never been like that.
That's cool.
And
that's good.
Yeah, and I think you change. I think it's an evolution into sort of a new part of who you are and a beautiful part of who you are, and you know, taking responsibility now, really you have to take responsibility for all of your
actions.
Now you are an example to another human being, and you are responsible for, like, unleashing this person into the world. And you know, like, you want to make it, like, a good person. I mean, I think evolution and growth and change is really good. And fear, yes, it's always going to be there, but it's like rising above that fear and realizing that you are now part of a much bigger picture, and there is a child involved, and a baby. And especially, you know, for me, it's like, once, you know, I actually knew it was a boy right from the get-go. I just knew, and, you know, then it was confirmed in ultrasounds. And he's actually, my kid is awesome. Like, one of his ultrasounds, like 19 or 20 week ultrasound, he was actually, it really honestly looked like he looked towards, like, facing us, like, because, you know, with the ultrasound, like, it looks like it's on a screen. It is on a screen, but, I mean, the baby's still obviously inside you, not inside of the teeth.
Right.
So it honestly looked like he faced the, like, the little ultrasound thing and started playing with his penis. And it looked hilarious because it looked like he was, like, you know, like, diddling himself.
That's so funny.
And, you know, like, yesterday, or I think it was yesterday, I was driving, and I, when I drive, I, like, rock out in my car to, like, Tool and Nine Inch Nails, and I just had the music blaring, and now we're at the point where he can actually hear my voice and people's voices and music and things like that, and so that they read to your belly and all that. So I, you know, had this music blasting, and all of a sudden he just starts, like, it's like he was dancing in there, like he's rocking out, like, mosh pit in my belly.
Aww.
It's really funny, like, and he, I can sort of tell now when he's sleeping or when he's fidgeting, and, you know, it's, I'm sure that that's only going to get more.
That's crazy. You're probably going to have, like, a super athletic, crazy, active kid, you know, coming from two parents that are both, you know, very active and stuff, you know.
Yeah, no, I really could never see myself raising, like, you know, a lazy kid that doesn't want to go out.
Run around.
Yeah, no.
It's going to be hard. I mean, since you're going to, do you feel like, let's say you can't walk and all that, and the kid's going to be wanting to be active. I mean, are you worried? How are you going to deal with that? I mean, I guess you'll deal with it as it comes along. For me, I'm worried if I ever became a mom, like, all the stuff, like, oh, I want to be able to, like, run up, like some playground steps with my kid and all that stuff, you know? Like,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, of course. You know, one of the things I thought about throughout the pregnancy, which, you know, I find sometimes, first of all, you know, they call it pregnancy brain, where, you know, you're forgetful and you're spacing and you think about weird stuff all the time, and it's from the hormones and stuff, which are just surging through your body. And so, yeah, I find myself thinking of all these, like, weird things, and one of the things, I was, like, just sitting there, and I don't know what I was doing, and had this thought of, like, oh my God, what if my son didn't learn how to walk because his parents can't walk? I was just like,
that'd be so funny.
All of a sudden, became like this weird, crazy fear that I had, and I was like, "Oh God! Like, how is he gonna learn? Because they learn by watching." And so I said it to a friend of mine, and he was like, "You realize that, like, all your friends," and I was like, "You know, the baby's sort of not aunts and uncles, but, you know, like, close friends become aunts and uncles, right?
So, yeah.
You know, we all walk. Like, he's going to look at us. Like,
yeah.
And that's the thing. I mean, he has a lot of support, and I have a lot of support from people, a lot of friends. But I actually, you know, I have a friend who, she is the same level as me, with injury level. She had her son 7 years ago. I'm going to have to tell her that I gave her a shout out on this podcast, but she and I have been talking a lot, and she said, you know, it's crazy how kids, from a very young age seem to understand that, you know, mom's in a wheelchair and maybe isn't able to do this, but is really cool in other ways, and it seems to, from kind of what I understand, like, raise almost very special children who have empathy and understanding, and a broader perspective about the world, you know, because they're growing up where, you know, yeah, their mom is a paraplegic, and it's just, yeah, I think
it's totally right, you know,
just that, like, it's like children who have, like, a disabled a kid in their class, right, like, they, from a very young age, will understand disability and things like that, and so it's, yeah, there are absolutely things. I mean, like I said, the stroller thing, well, how am I going to push a stroller, or when he learns how to walk, which I've now decided that, yes, he will learn how to walk, you know, when he learns how to walk, like, they just are, like, busybodies, they want to be everywhere, and chasing after them, and I'm like, well, you know, if he doesn't want to be in his baby carrier anymore, and he wants to walk because he's just figuring this out and walking the best thing ever, and we're in, like, a grocery store, and how am I going to hold on to his hand?
Right.
Off on me and push myself. And so, you know, I think of things like that, and pretty much have come up with solutions to everything. I mean, one of the things that I was absolutely, and still am, really sort of have thought a lot about and been afraid of is the first few weeks where their heads don't stay up. Like, you have to hold their head like,
yeah.
the first couple of months, I guess. And I was like, well, you know, how am I going to pick them up? Because I need to pick myself up, and I use my arms to push off stuff, right? And,
mm-hmm.
and like, if I have to hold his head.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I need both arms.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I need to hold his body and his head. Like, how am I going to do that? And so I sort of thought of different things. Like, I'll use a bassinet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with handles.
Yeah, that's good.
And leave him in the bassinet a lot when he's that age, as opposed to, you know, a lot of people will use pillows on couches and beds and stuff and just
yeah.
put him on the pillows. So it's like, well, if I already have him in a bassinet, I don't have to worry about holding his head. I can just pick up the bassinet with one hand
yeah,
and
that
hold
works.
Myself with the other. You know, even things like a diaper bag, mm-hmm. like what, how would I carry a diaper bag and wear the baby?
Right.
And then it's like, well, you could use a knapsack or, you know, even get one of those. I was actually thinking the other day of, like, mm-hmm. you know, those cushion covers that
mm-hmm.
have a lot, like, those big pockets that mm-hmm. hang down,
mm-hmm.
Like, between your legs, like,
yeah.
you know what I mean? Yeah, so I'm thinking, well, a diaper bag doesn't have to be a diaper bag. It can really be anything, you know, and so why not stuff a bunch of diapers and wipes and whatever into one of those
yeah, that would work.
Things under your chair, yeah.
Totally.
Like, you know, things that, and,
You should make a website after you've done all of this, and then just, like, run the website.
Yeah, I know. I'm actually mm-hmm. thinking of starting a, like, another blog or something where...
You should call it Pregnant on Wheels.
That's actually pretty good, because a friend of mine is, she's a web designer, and she's been offering to do it for me, but actually the cool thing is although it's not, I don't even know if I'm actually allowed to talk about this, but I'm going to let the cat out of the bag a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm without going into detail if, you know, if it doesn't happen or whatever, but
mm-hmm.
I was actually contacted by a producer, television producer from a very large network,
mm-hmm.
who was looking, she produces a show about pregnancy and, wants to, have me do an episode of the show, with the birth and, be on this particular
Whoa.
Show. It's a well-known show, which is really cool, so that might happen. And then so after speaking with her, she actually really liked the idea of turning my story and you know, the pregnancy and all of that into a reality show.
Wow, I was like, that's
yeah,
so exciting.
It's a legitimate thing. It's a big network. I don't know if it would be on this particular network, but most likely, I guess. And,
wow.
And so that's kind of in the works.
People would love to watch that, because that Paralyzed and Pregnant show on TLC, it's like, although that one girl from Florida, no, there was a paralyzed quad, and they did a Discovery Channel show about it 4 years ago, then they did a follow-up.
Oh, yes.
It's called Paralyzed and Pregnant, and they replay that show. I swear to God, I see it on TV almost every month, and apparently the only reason they replay stuff is because it gets a lot of viewers tuning in, so people must be really fascinated by it, so I imagine your show would probably be popular.
I totally know exactly. I know that was on, like, a long time ago. That kid must be, like...
He's, like, probably in second grade now.
Five now,
yeah.
Like, probably grown up. But, yeah, I remember that show, and, yeah, it would be a similar thing. I mean, I'm not a quad, obviously, but I...
Hopefully we'll have a happier ending. Because hers ended up being, like, she can't even sit up anymore, and her husband and her get divorced. Yeah.
Oh, my God, really?
I know, it's a sad thing.
Oh,
yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah.
No. I mean, I'm very confident that wherever life takes, whatever path I take, that, you know, me and my son are, you know, I feel really blessed to have such a special baby, and it's a miracle child, and
mm-hmm.
a child that's so obviously... You know, there was made it into the world against all the odds. You know, like,
oh, little baby Noah. Woo!
That's him, and he has, from the day, from conception, this child has beaten the odds. I mean, he was conceived, his dad's a paraplegic who has erectile dysfunction, and, you know, we were able to conceive with just leakage, basically. And then, you know, to have me have a really difficult pregnancy with a lot of medical issues, and he just keeps hanging in there. And then, you know, it's just, this child is so anticipated by so many people, you know, so loved and so supported. And it's just, especially, you know, that's why I feel like I just want to give him a really special start in life, was to have him in Hawaii, which I would stay in Hawaii. I wouldn't travel with him home, you know, or anywhere
mm-hmm.
for a couple of months, obviously. So I would conceivably stay in Hawaii for, I mean, I still have another 4.5-ish months to go, And then another few months after that, so at least, we're talking at least 6 months in Hawaii.
Wow.
And, yeah, but so in this reality show, like, I told the producer that Hawaii is pretty much, you know, like a 95% chance at this point. And she was like, that's, you know, that's really cool. And I just feel like I mean, paralysis has never stopped me from anything ever. I mean, I've made it a point, like, talk about life purpose, you know, like making a point out of your life. Mine is, it's been like, well, no one's ever going to tell me that I can't do something, or mm-hmm. you know, that this is not possible. And
yep.
like, for me, this just amplifies that. Like, I
good
just yeah, it's like this determination, this weird thing. And now it's like, I it is a gift, in it my is. Opinion, to be somebody's parent. It is a privilege and it's a gift. Mm. And there are so many people out there who should not be parents and should not have, you know, like, they just are not good parents. And it's like, to squander, like, to be responsible for someone's life and to squander that is mm-hmm. so tragic.
No, it is.
Human being. This is a human being. And especially, you know, to have the privilege to be somebody's parent and to be blessed with that, and to be lucky enough with all of my medical issues and paralysis,
mm-hmm.
all of that, to still be able
that's
to
very true.
Be given a child is, like, amazing to me. And, yeah, you know, a small part of me did think it would never really happen. It was like...
Well, yeah, you always think that when you're paralyzed, that you're not going to be able to get what everyone else gets.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? And here I am doing, I mean, what is, like, arguably the most primal thing a woman could ever do. Carry and, you know, birth a child. And
yes.
It really is. It's like
great.
It's Mother Nature has
great. It's beautiful.
Really hijacked my body.
And I really think, too, that people with disabilities, I think when you have an acquired disability like we do, and you become really strong because of it, and I think that probably would make us even better parents, you know, because, you know, you're in a good mental position to, like,
yeah.
dealing with the childhood things as a, you know, little baby problems is nothing compared to the stuff you had to deal with when you broke your back, you know. So I think it helps put things in perspective and everything. So, okay, I wish I could come to your baby shower, but I highly doubt I'll be able to make it.
Yeah, you know, I'm with going to Hawaii, I mean, I don't really know what kind of baby shower I'm really going
to
have.
Yeah, well, I'll have to send you a baby gift. Or if anyone out there wants to send Mimi something online, you can find her on Facebook, probably, right? If they want to send
I'm
you...
I'm going to put my registry.
Yeah, you put your registry online. I know. You should put together a registry. I would love to be able to get you something.
Yeah. Oh.
For little baby Noah. And it's N-O-A, which I think is super cool.
Well, his name is actually... people are going to kind of laugh when they hear this, maybe, but his name is Noah Lonnie, and he chose his own name. He came to me in a dream and told me his name. And
wow.
So his name is Noah Lonnie, which is actually a Hawaiian name.
Noah Lonnie, that's the first name?
Yeah, Noah Lonnie, and I haven't, you know, for middle names, he's going to have one. It's not been decided upon.
Cool.
So, yeah, I've been mulling over options and stuff. But, yeah, Noah Lonnie, it means heaven's mist or mist of heaven in Hawaiian. And I had never heard that name before.
That's beautiful, though.
I don't
know
Hawaiian. And
that is so weird you dreamt that.
I dreamt that, and he came, and he told me his name. He was, like, a kid in the dream. He was, like, 4 or 5, and...
Wow.
He had his father's big blue eyes, which to me, I'm really anticipating... If this baby, you know, if he ends up having big blue eyes like his father, it'll be interesting because that's what he had in this particular dream. And so I was like, Noah Lonnie, that's a cool name. Like, that's just, like, you know, a cool name. And Noah is an easy short form.
Oh, yeah, and that'll be good. So it's not super weird if he wants to, like, not have to explain it all the time to people, so...
Yeah, exactly. So, and if, you know, I'm also thinking of giving him, like, a really sort of... normal middle name, so that if he ever decides, like, well, I want a really, really normal name. Mm-hmm. So Noah's pretty normal. You know, I can just be like a...
Noah Lonnie Jack.
Jack. I can't believe that.
Noah.
It's so funny. I literally Jack both of
them. Yeah, I would have said that, too. I love the first name Jack, though, for boys. If I ever have a little boy, I want the name Jack.
Yeah, But so Noah Lonnie is his full name. And yeah, Noah for short. I like, and everyone's already calling him Noah.
Well, anyways, I think that This is super exciting, and I really hope you do get that reality show, because I would love to be able to watch this, you know, serious.
Well, you know, the premise of the show would be, I think, really, it would just be like, here I am going about my life and dragging my kid with me, and it's, you know, if I can do it, you can do it.
Yeah, totally, like, totally.
If a paraplegic can do it.
Yeah, you have no excuse. If I can do all the parenting things and not walk at all.
At all, yeah.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, and I think it would be, you know, I think the fact that he was conceived naturally, I hope, is a really encouraging message to paras and quads.
Without question.
Males who are trying to conceive, because, you know, I hear and read stories online of them using sperm extraction, paying mm-hmm. a lot of money, mm-hmm. Using Ferticare and believing that they need to actually ejaculate.
Yeah.
Eve. Whereas, you know, we were saying before, you don't need to ejaculate.
Nope.
You just need a little tiny little bit of sperm, and however you get it in there, you get it in there. Just use it or lose it, man.
Use it or lose it. And don't listen to what the books necessarily tell you.
Absolutely. Do not listen to conventional doctors, urologists. All urologists will probably say, well, all paraplegic men are not able to do it. But it's like, that's crap. Because I actually have read of other male paras and a couple of quads who just went about it like things were normal. Yeah. And they were able to conceive not just one, but several children.
Yeah.
Whereas every doctor said that. I mean, doctors also tell me that at T7, I should not get AD.
Right.
I do get
exactly.
AD, and I get it pretty badly.
Exactly.
That in and of itself is like proof that the doctor says is not necessarily gold. Don't believe what doctors say. Don't sit there.
No.
And that's, you know, for me, it's a big reason why I'm opting for a home birth with a midwife, because I'm sick and tired of hearing what doctors tell me what I can't do.
No.
And it's gone to a point, I think, in our society where that has to really stop, and people have to stop believing solely in what doctors tell you, because mm-hmm. They are not God. They are not all-knowing. A lot of them, you know, look to their textbooks, and if it's not in the textbook, well, then it's not possible, and that is just
I think there's a lot of mysteries about the human body that the doctors will never know, you know, about people with spinal cord injuries. The latest research that just came out about the guy that's walking. Exactly. And that proves how they don't even know exactly how the nerves even work now.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. The more I have been immersed in the medical community over the last, before I got pregnant, the last, you know, 4 months before that, now with this pregnancy, I'm really convinced that the majority of doctors do not know any more than us if we read a few medical textbooks.
No.
And the one doctor that I really do like is my kidney doctor, and he's very open-minded and very intuitive, and it's kind of a, a needle in a haystack almost, mm-hmm. because he is open to things like energy can make you sick or well, and, you know, things are possible that seemed impossible, and mm-hmm. that's the thing. It's all, like, nobody should ever believe that something is impossible, ever, because we all know that that is BS.
Exactly.
Things are absolutely possible against all odds, and that's what this baby, like, this baby mm-hmm. is possible against every single odds stacked up against this child, and it's like he's just a little fighter,
mm-hmm.
fighting spirit, and he's a very, very special miracle baby, mm-hmm. and it's a privilege to be his mother.
Well, I'm glad. So happy for you. And this is a good note to end on, actually. We should end here because we're running out of time, and we have to cut this interview, I think. Right here. But you are, look, it's a beautiful thing. It's a miracle baby. And I think that is your guys' story is just one of the coolest stories I've heard yet in the spinal cord injury community. And
thank you.
It's beautiful, and I really hope that, the whole pregnancy in Hawaii goes well, and we're definitely going to have you back on and later, I think in the fall after you
have
the baby,
fingers crossed.
Woo!